It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea. Many of you no doubt welcome our next guest into your homes each weeknight on PBS.
Good evening. I'm Judy Woodruff on the NewsHour tonight. The Trump administration announces new sanctions against Russia.
Last month, Georgia Broadcast Hall of Famer Judy Woodruff took the reins as permanent sole anchor of the PBS NewsHour. It is a big step from her early days as a journalist in Atlanta. Judy Woodruff recently spoke with my colleague Tony Harris.
With so much really, truly great journalism next to your name, where does being named sole anchor of the PBS NewsHour rank?
Well, it's got to be pretty close to the top. It's incredibly humbling, and I know people use that expression a lot, but I really mean it. I mean, to come to a place that was occupied originally by Robin McNeil and Jim Lehrer, and then by Gwen Ifill and me when we were named the co-anchors in 2013. And then, of course, we lost Gwen a few years ago, a little over a year ago, leaving a big hole in our hearts. But this is a very special place in American journalism. And so it's an honor. It's a huge responsibility. And at the same time, it's exciting because there's so much work to be done. There's so much journalism to be done. And I have an amazing team here supporting me.
I want to get to the journalism piece in a moment. I'm curious that the 2016 presidential campaign, right, and the Trump presidency so far has proven to be a real bonanza, right, for local news organizations, cable news organizations, and the ratings are through the roof across the board. What's the viewership story for the NewsHour during, you know, this same period?
Well, we're very grateful because our viewership has gone up significantly since before the election year of 2016, and it has stayed at a significantly higher level. And I do think it's because people are paying close attention. What we hear from our viewers on a regular basis is that they appreciate our straight approach to the news, the fact that we are reporting not only what's happening in this country or in 50 states and in Washington, but we also every night report on what's going on around the world. And they like the fact that we are, in effect, holding up a mirror to what's going on out there. And that we're covering the stories in Washington, which are plentiful, but that's not the only thing we do. We are continuing to cover education and science and the economy. But that's just one slice. There's so much to follow. And it's our mission to make sure we're paying attention to all of it.
How hard is it to avoid being pulled down the rabbit hole, my word, not yours, of covering what the president says or what the president tweets, and, you know, at the risk of losing sight of all the other journalism that you just described?
If all we wanted to do was to get up every morning and read the tweets from the president and the stories in different news organizations about what's going on in the Trump administration, we could fill the program with that almost every night. But that's not our mission. It's part of what we do, no question. We look at what the president is saying in his tweets and his speeches and his interviews and comments, and what other people report him to be saying in private meetings and elsewhere. But that's, you know, and we report on that, and we keep it in context, because frankly, some of the things that the president has said in a speech, either he chose not to follow through on, or for whatever reason, things ended up going in another direction. And so, you know, our mission really truly is to keep our eye on the entire landscape and to think, what do people need to know in order to get through the day and get through the week? Most people are out there working hard. They are raising their children or working on their career or doing whatever they're doing. And whatever goes on in Washington is not the end all and be all of their lives. So we have to keep that in mind, and we do keep that in mind.
You know, you've told aspiring journalists, this was a Facebook chat a while ago, that there's no such thing as being objective in covering the news, and that the best we can do is try to be consciously fair in approaching every story. make sure we reflect all sides if there's controversy involved. So, Judy, what's the challenge of being objective today when even well-sourced stories are being called fake news?
Well, I really meant what I said when I said there's no such thing as being objective for a journalist. I think, you know, we're all human beings. We're the sum total of our experiences, you know, where we grew up, whether we're male or female, you know, where did we live, where have we traveled, you know, our family experiences, our professional experiences. None of us comes to what we do with a blank slate. Objective is something, a piece of paper is objective, but a human being isn't. And so the best we can do is try to be fair, to try to be open, to try to reflect all sides of the story. And that's what we try to do here at the NewsHour. And it's what we must do right now. I think more than ever, we are called on right now in this environment, in this hyper-politicized, hyper-partisan environment, to try to keep our feet on the ground and keep our head out of the clouds, to take a deep breath and think about what matters. Because as you said a moment ago, it would be so easy to get carried away every day with the noise, with the what other shiny objects are being thrown up in the air. And we can't do that. We owe our audience much more than that.
Judy, so here's the how and why question on how you keep getting up and jumping into the news fray question, right? Yeah, I remember you saying when you were leaving CNN, I do want to stay in journalism. I'm not leaving journalism. I'm just leaving daily journalism. You remember saying that? Do you remember?
I do remember saying that.
Okay, so here's the question. You are certainly back in daily journalism, and it's... it is really a grind. I know it, and I know you know it. So how and why do you continue to do it?
Well, number one, I love it. I love it. When I said that in 2005 as I was leaving CNN, I truly thought I was leaving daily journalism. I was going off to work on a documentary. My plan was to teach. I wanted to write a book. I had all kinds of ideas in my head, but I didn't see what a daily journalism opportunity there was out there. And it just so happened that the NewsHour and I found our way back to each other. And I'm incredibly grateful for that every day. But the honest truth is that I love what I do. I mean, I really love the news. I love trying to figure out what's going on. I love asking questions. I think the most interesting thing in the world is a conversation with someone to try to get to the bottom of whatever it is, whether they were involved in a news story or whether they wrote a book or they're a political leader or they're an education leader or they discovered something or they're an astronaut. You know, there are just so many things to be discovered. The world is so full of this and that and the other, and it's going to take the rest of my life to figure it all out, right? I mean, seriously, I think it, to me, it's just, how could anybody be bored doing what we're doing? It's just, it's a privilege every day to come into the NewsHour and think about the things that matter and to have a chance to try to understand them and to make them understandable to the people who are reading or following us on television.
So, Judy, it's always a bit weird to read what's written about you, right? So what was your reaction to the New York Times description of your performance style? And here it is, quote, Ms. Woodruff's measured delivery with her hands clasped and her voice low stands as a counterweight to a haywire era of American news. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I thought it was interesting. I hadn't really thought of myself that way because the truth is that I have what they call in the television world nervous hands because I tend to be in constant motion, and my hands are fidgeting on the desk. So the fact that the article said that they were clasped very properly, I thought was a nice commentary. I thought, oh my goodness, I must have held them still for one night. But no, seriously, you never know what somebody's going to write. I was grateful that the New York Times actually profile the program and said so many wonderful things about the work that we're doing.
When I think about my years in the business, I think about the places and the people along the way, right? So I'm wondering how important was Atlanta and by extension the state of Georgia as a place in your career?
That's a great question, and it's interesting. I don't get asked that very often, but I did spend a year and a half as a secretary in the newsroom at then WQXI television right out of college, and then I worked for 5 years for WAGA when it was a CBS affiliate. Right after that, covering the state legislature, covering city politics, did stories on redlining and blockbusting and really interesting work. That's where I cut my teeth as a reporter. That's where I fell in love with covering politics. I didn't know until I was just about to graduate from college that I even wanted to go into journalism, so Atlanta was everything to me. I mean, it was a wonderful place to be a reporter. There was so much going on at that time. It was the early 70s, and we were dealing with a lot. I mean, the South had come through segregation, but was still struggling at that time. I covered the Jimmy Carter race for governor in 1970. Of course, the little-known former peanut farmer went on to do other things. So it was, it made all the difference. And I had a producer who would say to me on a regular basis, "You're only as good as your last story," who reminded me that no matter how great you feel about some work you've done, there's more work to be done the next day and the next day and the next day. And I learned a lot. The man who hired me to be a reporter at WAGA, named Bob Brennan, who's still around and living in Atlanta, I consider a great mentor. He gave me a chance when nobody else would. And I'm incredibly grateful to him.
Judy, here's the question that would be probably most helpful to aspiring journalists and young working journalists like those crafting this program. What is your daily news routine, and has it changed much over the years?
It's changed tremendously, thanks to social media and the web and the rest of it. I used to get up in the morning and read the newspapers. I still read the newspapers, and sometimes I read them whole. Holding them in my hands. In fact, I try to do that as often as I can. But of course, I'm also constantly checking my smartphone for everything from news feeds to Twitter to every place you can imagine, that news is coming in. And then when I get to work, it's the same thing. You're on the computer, you're looking at the wire services, which have been around for a while, but you're checking so many other sources of news, and on a daily basis, any news organization can be breaking something. You've got to pay attention in all directions. I have to say, it's exciting because this, we've been through this period when so many news organizations have had to either disappear, go out of business, or shrink. And having said that, there's still some great journalism going on. I mean, the great competition these days between the Washington Post and the New York Times and Wall Street Journal and other news organizations, the Associated Press, and I could go on and on and on. It's really exciting. But yes, it's absolutely changed.
To the question of what you need to be a journalist, you responded that you need an insatiable curiosity, the refusal to say no when someone tells you they won't be able to help you, and a love of news and current events. You can specialize, but at a basic level, and I love this part, you need to care about the world around you and the people in it. Does that statement feel as true to you today as it ever has? It feels that way to me.
Yes, you should not go into journalism if you don't care about, what's going on to the people around you, whether they're in this country or around the world. And I see that. I'm just heartened every day when I talk to young people who are trying to decide whether or not to go into journalism. What they say is, "Well, should I do this? I see this newspaper closing down or that news organization, downsizing." And I say, look, there's always going to be a need for information. The American people, the people around the world, are always going to need news in order to function. In this country, it's essential to our democracy. We don't have a democracy unless we have freedom of the press. And frankly, that's another reason that in this environment where people are calling out fake news, and that's coming from the highest, political highest levels of our government, that that I think is something we have to stand up to every day and show that, you know, we're here to do serious work and to do it honorably and to make sure it's accurate, and to be humble about the work we do. The one thing I would add to what you said is I think journalists have to be humble. We can't ever assume that we know everything. I think there have been some moments in our history when I think journalists have gotten to a place where they kind of think they've figured it out. And I think we have to be humble. We have to remember that we are not the font of all wisdom, and we have to keep asking. That's why we're here, to keep asking, to keep learning, and to keep sharing with the people we're writing for or reporting for. And I think the need has never been greater than it is today. It's always been great. It's always been essential to have great journalism, but today we need it more than ever. Look at the challenges this country's facing. Look at the challenges the war, you know, people living around the world who are in much worse condition than what we are living in here in this country. But yes, there are pockets of this country where people are suffering, no question, in urban and rural America. And we need to worry about that and pay attention to that, as well as people who, you know, who seem on the outside to be doing all right, but they're not. I mean, there's so much to report on. The work never ends.
Judy, congratulations on being named the permanent sole anchor of the PBS NewsHour.
That's Judy Woodruff of the PBS NewsHour speaking with my colleague Tony Harris. Judy was recently named the sole anchor of the PBS NewsHour.